Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 presents the CEO Series, insights from top business leaders. Your host is Carl Moore.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada's, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Mohamed Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, former international president of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Mirko Bebek, CEO of Bell Canada. Mirko, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and how did your family influence you?
So I was born in Montreal. I grew up in Longueuil and lived in Longueuil until my early 20s. In fact, when I went to law school, I went to CJIP at Champlain College in Saint-Albert. I also did my undergrad at McGill at the Deshotels School, in fact, where, of course, you teach, Carl. In terms of family, you know, tremendous influence on me. I was kind of taught at a very young age the importance of an education as the foundation for future success, however, you know, one wants to define that. You know, the importance of hard work and appreciating the value of hard day's work, regardless of your trade or regardless of your profession. So those are the kinds of things that shaped me and influenced me early on.
Were your parents immigrants at all?
Yes, both my parents are immigrants, yes.
Where from? I'm just curious.
My mother was born in France, and my dad is of Serbian descent, and they both came to Montreal in their early teens, well, in their teens.
So you are quite bilingual then, I presume.
I am. In the home, we spoke English and French. I speak French with my mother. I grew up in a predominantly Francophone neighborhood, and I went to school in English from elementary school all the way through.
What do you think you want to do while you were growing up? Back as a kid in high school, what was your dream to be at that point?
It's a good question. I actually don't have a specific recollection of you know, dreaming to do something in particular when I was a young lad or even as a teen. I think my early recollection of trying to figure out what I wanted to do actually, you know, was in undergrad at McGill. And kind of when I graduated, I didn't quite know what would be best for me, what really would motivate me, what really would interest me. In fact, probably one of the reasons, like that indecision was probably one of the reasons why I ultimately went to law school. And ultimately it was a very good decision because I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing if it weren't for that. But, you know, not a real direct answer to your question, but it's kind of the best recollection I have not being quite certain where my career would lead me.
My undergrads will be encouraged to hear that. They wrestle with that even very much today. What was your earliest leadership role? Was it back in high school? When did, like, clearly you're a leader today, a CEO of Bell. When did you begin to think you might be leader back as a youngster?
Probably wouldn't have thought of myself that way. I think when it became more apparent to me, in high school, if I go back to high school, I mean, this, you know, different types of leadership. My grades were quite solid and on the high side. So in kind of, you know, that might have, you know, in certain respects, maybe there were early inklings of that there in particular classes, for example. But I mean, that's a bit too nebulous. I think it became a little bit more real to me when I entered the legal profession, both as a student and in my early years. Just the ability to soak in more work and get more responsibility on files, even very, very early on in my career, gave me the confidence to lean in on things and started kind of being more comfortable with taking leadership positions, even around, you know, senior people as it related to a particular slice of work or a particular file, and then it grew and grew.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today we're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Favorite memory from McGill?
I don't have a one specific favorite memory, but kind of what I still think about today is more of a general theme of getting together with friends, and particularly most of my high school friends. You know, we all went to McGill together in various programs, of course, but we kind of kept that connection together throughout McGill. I have fond memories of those kind of, cramming, studying sessions before exams in Red Path and being together. And then I remember, I have memories of kind of late afternoon or evening classes and then going out afterwards on a Thursday night, Friday night. So kind of with my high school friends who continued on to McGill, like that's kind of the general memory that still sticks with me as a very, very fond, good memory.
Well, it helps me understand a bit why my students are so frustrated today, because that's central to so many of our memories of college. And then they just can't do that right now. And so they are, as young people, I think, naturally frustrated.
I understand it. And I see that with one of my kids in particular, who's at university right now.
What was your first job out of university, and what did it teach you? What was it? How was it foundational?
So I've had two jobs. Well, two employers, better way to put it. Many jobs, but two employers. So my first employer was Stikeman Elliott, very prominent national law firm, particularly prominent in the city of Montreal. And so my first job was as an associate lawyer in the Ottawa office of Stikeman Elliott. And I learned the foundation, many leadership skills there, particularly interacting with senior partners that I had the privilege of interacting with and working for and learning from. Observed a lot of excellent leadership traits from many of our senior clients. And look, I also encountered certain personalities along the way where I said, okay, that's not how I want to lead. So, it was a great training ground, working at Stikeman Elliott in that respect and in so many other respects.
Do any mentors come to mind, whether it's Stikeman or later on at Bell, of people, men and women that kind of help set you on your path?
Yeah, mentorship is so important. I mean, I kind of wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for, certain number of critical interactions and mentors I had along the way. And I could name at least five, but, firstly, fellow by the name, prominent lawyer by the name of Lawson Hunter would be a key mentor early on, who I did a lot of work for at Stikeman Elliott. He was a preeminent lawyer in competition law, still is. And he moved to Bell in 2003 and then asked me to move to Bell. He moved to Bell in 2003, asked me to join him in 2004 as Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, which is a very senior position within Bell. And if not for his mentorship throughout a number of years and working for him, I wouldn't be at Bell. Of course, working for George Cope was amazing. He joined Bell in 2006 or 5. 2006, I was, or 2005, I was here at Bell. Not for a very long time, but I was here. He joined. And having the privilege of working with George Cope, like a truly iconic Canadian CEO, again, I would not be CEO if it weren't for George Cope. So those would be, two key mentors. And I would add a third who's on our board of directors today, a lawyer, a phenomenal lawyer and CEO who I had the privilege of working with both at Stikeman Elliott and he's now on our board of directors, Calin Ovinescu, CEO of Air Canada. He was going to retire early next year, but he also has had a tremendous influence on my career.
Do you mentor? How many people are you mentoring this year?
I have several direct reports. I have, 12, 13, 14. I wouldn't say I mentor them specifically, or kind of we mentor each other, but we clearly have tremendous amount of influence on each other's careers and successes. So that 14 direct reports.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Coming up, we'll discuss his career and what lies ahead for Bell Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Do you see yourself being reverse mentored beyond your own kids?
Yes. I mean, I learned a tremendous amount, by the way, pointing out mentorship for my own kids. Very good call. Here at work every day, like the people I work with in their fields of expertise have far more experience than I ever will have. And I learn from them every day. I think I create a culture where we can ask each other questions without, you know, kind of worrying about what the question sounds like or the reason for it. And that's how we continue to learn. So I learn a tremendous amount every single day from my colleagues.
What did the road to CEO look like for you, Mirko? When did you start saying, I may be more than just a senior lawyer at Bell, but might become the CEO someday?
So that last question, I might become the CEO, didn't really pop into my head, I have to say, until very recently when the succession planning exercise started taking shape here at Bell in a way that I was made aware of. Of course, succession planning is always goes on in the background in healthy organizations, but from point of view of my knowledge, it was very recently. I think there wasn't a preordained roadmap that I certainly had in my mind to get to where I am today. It kind of all came together. I've been asked this before, in various ways. And the best answer I can give, Carl, is it came from taking on, expanding different roles with expanding scope of responsibility, having people who trusted me to give me that expanded scope of responsibility, of course, delivering along the way, right? You got to have some successes along the way. And kind of being good with people, and you have to be good with at leading people as well. And I think it's probably how it came together for me. Of course, when I was pulled into the exercise of preparing me quite officially to take over the reins of CEO of Bell Canada, then it took on a little bit of a different dimension with very conscious planning on my part as to how I wanted to do it.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today we're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Do you still occasionally pinch yourself metaphorically and go, what am I doing in this seat? Or have you become more comfortable over time and kind of the reality has sat in?
Both. I said when I assumed the reins, so to speak, on January 6th of this year, I recall saying in an interview, a media interview, that I woke up with a severe case of the butterflies that morning, and it was just out of excitement, right? I still have those pinch me moments, and here we are. I mean, Bell Canada has got a very rich 140-year history in Canada. It's a truly iconic brand. It's part of the fabric of the Canadian economy and has been forever. It's integral to the Canadian economy. We operate the networks that are the engine of the modern digital economy. So that's so exciting. There's a tremendous future ahead of us. We are building, the infrastructure right now that is going to position Bell to continue to be a Canadian leader for 140 more years. So those are the kinds of things when I talk about it, I get pretty excited about it and have those pinch me moments. And of course, it's a job with a lot of responsibility. So, you're mindful of that. You always have to be conscious of that. And I am.
What's the difference between being COO and being CEO? And you were a COO in training that was George's plan. You weren't sure when, but what's the difference? Is there much difference between those two roles in your mind?
There are a lot of similarities because, COO is a pretty expansive role from a revenue generating point of view. And when I was COO, most of the revenue generating units, except Bell Media, reported into me. I think I would say that one of the more significant differences between the two roles is the multitude of stakeholders that you're a CEO, you're responsible for interacting with, right? So it starts with the customer. It should always start with the customer. Employees across the board, across all of BCE, so 50,000 strong. Government and regulators, which I was more accustomed to as a stakeholder given my prior roles in the company. communities, the media, investors and shareholders, of course, critical stakeholder, not a group that I interacted with directly before my time as COO. So that would be one key difference, the multitude of stakeholders. And another one, Carl, I would say a big difference is ultimately the decision-making buck stops with you. And you have to be comfortable with that. And I certainly am. I thrive on making decisions.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
How do you do strategy at Bell? Is it from you and the senior team with the board's blessing, or does it more bubble up? Or how do you go about doing strategy at Bell?
You know, the way I look at that, the exercise of developing good strategy is I always like to anchor what we do to our core strengths. And I think the, kind of the best encapsulation to me of Bell's core strength is kind of the goal that we set out for ourselves, which I think is important. Every organization needs to have a goal. And for us, it's advancing how Canadians communicate with each other and the world. So, you know, largely intuitive from Bell's perspective in terms of creating the opportunity for connections amongst individuals, family members, amongst enterprises, customers, and businesses locally and nationally and internationally. So anchor our strategy to that goal. And another key part of our strategy is you know, making sure that you harness the best parts of your culture and make sure that when you're making a decision is the initiative that you're deciding to embark on, is it, you know, tethered to your goal? Is it tethered to your strategic priorities? And if it doesn't fit into your strategic priorities, whatever initiative you're looking at, you've got one of two choices, in my view. You really only two. You don't do it, because otherwise you're just lurching about without a plan. Or it's just so compelling that maybe it's time for you to modify to some degree, you know, your strategic priorities. But those are your two choices. So, it's a bit of a general answer, but I think it speaks to a mindset, which is how we develop strategy is always being focused on our goal and the strategic priorities that we feel are going to help us achieve that goal, and then examining each initiative against that.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Up next, we'll be talking about what happened during the pandemic in this iconic Canadian business. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. What is 5G? Your industry seems very excited about it from what I, you know, read in the press or as a consumer. What's 5G and how is Bell involved?
5G is the next evolution of wireless technology. So, you know, we started off in the 1980s with 2G, and then you might recall kind of we thought 3G was great, and that was in, prior to 2008, 2009, 2010, and then we went to 4G, and it's typically been a step function increase in the speed of networks and in the computing power of mobile handsets that allowed you to take advantage of the increased network speeds. And then, you know, the iPhone came along in 2007 with the whole app ecosystem, and this is the next iteration in wireless technology. So 5G, it's here today. So we have launched our 5G network. We launched it actually in June of this year. And we are going to be at Bell, we're just going to be Canadian leader in 5G. And think of, you could think of 5G in kind of having four key characteristics: a step function increase in the speed that we can deliver to you. A second element is latency. So latency means how quickly your network responds. So think about being able to engage in autonomous mining or remote flight control, like the remote surgery. Those things don't work unless the reaction time between your command on your device and the network doing something on the other end, it's got to be near instantaneous. So latency. Another element is coverage. Just got to make sure you have, you know, dense coverage throughout the country. And the fourth is differentiated user or service experience. So I'll give you an example. Think of public safety. So the example I like to use is the Toronto Raptors Championship Parade. You know, there's millions of people downtown Toronto. Well, if there had been an emergency, and you know, everyone was taking videos and uploading videos, and the networks were congested. And then in the case of an emergency, you know, that traffic could crowd out the ability of first responders to communicate. In a 5G world, you could actually dedicate a slice of that network only for first responders during an event like that. So that's an example of a differentiated user experience. So that's why 5G is radically different than what we've seen before in some examples. We're in it. We're poised because of our network advantage to be a leader in it at Bell.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today we're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
About 10% of your people are Bell Media. Like, I understand the Bell business, the phones, the cell phones. Where does Bell Media and how does it fit as an important strategic M&A years ago now, but how does that fit with the overall Bell direction?
The vertical integration strategy that we embarked upon around 2010, 2011, when we purchased CTV Globe Media, which is what it was called at the time, now Bell Media, is we're, you know, focused on our core business of delivering internet services to Canadians, mobile services, wireless services to Canadians, as well as TV distribution services. Think of Fibe TV. You know, we have millions of Fibe TV customers, and Fibe TV is powered off of our wireline, core wireline network. And so a key part of what Bell TV, Fibe TV, is delivering to the viewer is it's all content. And so the reason it fit in was, you know, content is one of the key things that people use our networks for. So there's a natural fit to be vertically integrated in that sense. You know, one of the clearly the largest expense item if you're going to operate a service like Bell TV are your content costs. So owning the number one broadcaster allows us to kind of have control over that content cost. A third way is as the networks continue to evolve over the last decade, now it's not just a viewer sitting at home watching Fibe TV in their living room. It's content, you know, viewers watching content no matter where they are and whatever device they are. So to be able to marry the best content with the best technology platforms is a perfect fit. And the fourth thing is that, you know, financial dimension. You know, the free cash flow that Bell Media delivers allows us to accelerate our broadband deployment, our investments in network infrastructure.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
When you think about it, one of the great things that Bell has done the last number of years is Let's Talk Mental Health program. The pandemic seems to, for almost all of us, made mental health more of a challenge. Tell us a little bit about how that's what you've been doing at Bell about mental health, particularly during the pandemic.
Right. So we're extremely proud of the Bell Let's Talk initiative. It's a transformative, you know, initiative that was launched in 2010. The idea was to raise awareness about mental health, which kind of too often was not spoken about openly, hence Bell Let's Talk. Eradicate the stigma associated with mental health. So, you know, you fast forward to this year and the impacts of the pandemic on, you know, mental health across the country. We identified that this would be a need that we needed to avoid, that we need to continue to step in with our Let's Talk program. So one of the very first things we did when the pandemic hit us was, you know, donate an additional $5 million to our $150 million Bell Let's Talk program, with us, you know, with that $5 million being dedicated specifically to improving mental health services in an online world.
The future of work. You had some programs at Bell, like most companies, assuming more online and so on, and you have 5G coming, so it's just right in Bell's swim lane. But this all just moved everything forward. How do you see work at Bell being different in 2-3 years from now? Do you have a sense of that yet?
Well, we're starting to think through how we think this is going to, you know, work in practice. So, you know, I think back to when I became CEO and I outlined new strategic imperatives for the organization. One of the imperatives was to engage and invest in our people. So it was a way for me to signal to the organization that I consider our 50,000 person workforce not to be an enabler of our strategy, but to be a core element of our strategy. And one of the first proof points that I announced at the time was that we were going to adopt a flexible work policy. Kind of, it sounds a little bit odd now that I'm saying this, but we had a culture where it was you come to work, and then sure, there's some circumstances that on an exceptions basis where people can work from home, but generally that's not condoned. So I said, okay, now we're going to change that. We're going to allow for people to work from home with your leader's approval. And then 3 short months later, that's all everyone's doing. Now, do I think that this is here to stay? I don't think so, and I hope not. I think it's important for the success of an organization to have face-to-face collaboration for the cohort of employees that typically were office workers. Does it need to be like it used to be? No, I don't think so either. So I'm envisioning a hybrid model where, call it 20 to 25% of people are permanent work from home, 20 to 25% are permanent work from the office, and you've got that 50 to 60% of your employees who have the flexibility to shift back and forth depending on circumstances, on the nature of their meetings, on the need to come in for, meetings that require face-to-face collaboration, brainstorming, etc.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada. Up next, we'll talk about his work-life integration and whether he's an introvert or an extrovert. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
Is Bell able to stay agile, Mirko? How do you do it?
Yes and no. We're really good and really, agile. It may not be the most efficient agility, but we're pretty rapid and agile in the sense that when Bell is really good in times of crisis, and I just don't mean COVID-19. When there's a cable cut because there's a contractor inadvertently cuts a fiber and then cuts a redundant fiber, and then the entire province is down. We're really agile at getting the network back up and running. And it makes sense. It's what we've done for 140 years. So in that regard, I'm comfortable with our agility. I've talked length about how we reacted to COVID, and it's kind of, okay, we're not going to boil the ocean. It's very 3 basic principles. Keep Canadians connected. I think we were very agile in that respect. Where we need to get better is agility in the day-to-day operation. And when we want to develop a new product, it takes or launch a new service or launch a new rate plan, I feel that we can be far, far more efficient in doing that. And then, but that's a journey. And so as long as you acknowledge it, you acknowledge where you're weak and then just invest in it. Crave, it's by far easily number 2 in Canada behind Netflix. Netflix had a multi-year head start. They're a company with global scale. So I'm really proud of the fact that we're a solid, by far number 2. We have 2.7 million subscribers. There are things that I think we should move faster on Crave. A better recommendation engine. Now we have a recommendation engine. I want it to be better. So these are things, I wouldn't say struggle, but these are things I'm aware of. And we appreciate where we can be better. And then we're just making sure that we're constantly innovating to do things better, faster, and cheaper.
This is your first year. It's almost over. Early in the year, you brought in some new people on your direct report team. What do you look for talent to work directly for you? What is the things that stand out in your mind these days?
We deal in a complex world, in a complex industry, with complex technology. Is somebody able to take what is an otherwise complex problem and distill it to its core essence? In other words, make it simpler. That's important. Somebody who errs on the side of action. Somebody who, not afraid of leaning in and making a decision. By the same token, people who listen. I think it's important to just listen, you know, and reflect before you make a call. Somebody who drives results ultimately. You've got to drive results. And then, you know, people who at their core have, you know, ethics, integrity, transparency. So when those things fit together and you're able to identify them, you know, it's, I think it's incumbent on the leader to say, okay, I'm going to nurture that talent and see if we can take that person to the next level.
What was the most important thing you learned from George Cope, your predecessor, one of Canada's great CEOs?
He always says to me, surround yourself with great people. People who are smarter than you. So definitely an important lesson learned. Makes total sense. Thing that I learned very early on working with George is to anchor yourself to a well-defined plan, but be aware enough to adjust as required. So have the develop a well-articulated, well-thought-out plan. Stick to your plan. You know, be focused on executing on that plan. But again, be self-aware enough to adjust it as circumstances warrant, because you can't plan for every eventuality. His preparation was one of his hallmarks. And don't be afraid to lean in, make a call, and win.
So, Merker, are you more of a introvert, ambivert, or extrovert, do you think?
Probably a bit of both, which is maybe the easy way out to answer your question. But certainly I'm a private individual. On the other hand, you have to be an extrovert if you're going to lead a company like Bell and like BCE. Just think about the types of interactions you have to have every single day, whether or not it's speaking at a town hall with thousands of employees or doing this radio show or leading an annual general meeting of shareholders. These are the kinds of things that require you to be comfortable interacting with people, being around people, leading people, communicating with people. I quite enjoy it. But I'm nevertheless a pretty private person. So that's why I kind of put myself firmly in the camp of both.
How do you recharge after a long day?
I have no magic formula. Fundamentally, try to get a lot of sleep.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today we're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
How have you stayed productive working from home? I'm an extreme extrovert. It's driven me wild at times, but it's probably a bit easier for someone a bit more introverted. But what's your tips for being productive at home? Because a lot of us worked way too much at the beginning because there was no boundaries. Maybe you're more mature than most of us, but what are the things you've learned along the way, Mirko?
Oh, I mean, I can't say that I'm particularly good at putting those boundaries in place, and I need to be better at it as well. I mean, I'm staying productive. My days are full, and they're full from the moment I my work day, from the moment I wake up till the end of the work day. So I mean, it's in terms of being productive from home. I mean, my day's not all meetings, but I have to be on and focused when I'm interacting with people. So that forces me by design to be productive, and I do make sure. Make sure it's a bit of a strong word. I try at the end of the workday to disconnect for a bit, and again go back to the concept of getting lots of sleep. But I have no magic formula to that either. I probably could do better at establishing some boundaries to allow me to be even more productive working from home. That's for sure.
So what's lots of sleep? 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours? What's lots of sleep in your mind?
Well, that's a great question. I'm in that seven hour camp.
What book are you reading right now? Not while I'm talking to you, Mirko, but what book are you reading today sort of thing?
Actually, I cracked open a book on the weekend. I was at the cottage on the weekend, and it's a book that called Beauties, which was written by one of my colleagues at Bell Media, James Duthie, who's one of Canada's best broadcasters. He's on TSN, and it's an interesting book. It's a fun read. It's a collection of hockey stories from the perspective of current players, former players, journeyman players, Hall of Famers, referees, people who've been in minor hockey, and he's put all these stories together from, as they were shared with him by these individuals, and it's fun. And he sent me a copy, and I've been cracked it open on the weekend, and I'm working my way through it.
We're speaking with Mirko Bibic, CEO of Bell Canada.
Let me ask you a question you may not be able to answer. Senators, Maple Leafs, Canadians, three cities that you've lived in, which one are you a fan of?
Oh, I can't. I like all three. I can't answer that particularly. I've been a lifelong Habs fan. I cheer for the Leafs to win every time they play as well. I mean, I'm an intimate part of the Leafs organization, proudly so. I sit on the board of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and you know, the success of the Habs and the Leafs is also very important to Bell's bottom line. We of course have naming rights at the Bell Center, so we're a hugely important partner and part owner of the Montreal Canadiens. And as far as the Senators are concerned, although we don't own any piece of the Senators, we are the official radio and TV broadcaster of the Senators, and we also have telecom partnership with the Senators. That's been long lasting from the moment they were created. So how's that? I want all three to succeed.
You stick handled that one very well, I must say. When and where are you the happiest?
I'm the happiest at my cottage, particularly when the entire family's around. One of the, you know, the unfortunate situation we're in with COVID-19. I mean, it's terrible, but you know, if there's one silver lining is that during the quarantine, we actually lived there for almost 6 months, and that was you know, my wife and I and our three adult children. It was a lot of fun.
This is the CEO Series. Mirko, thank you for joining us today. The show was produced by Marie LeBrosse. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.